Chapter 4. Lay hold of him. The chaps are always telling me, I don't know my own strength. He's the most harmless creature that ever lived, she interrupted. You wouldn't say so, if you had seen him chasing me upstairs with a hard leather strap, he said. I haven't forgotten it in 16 years. She got warm from head to foot under another soft, subdued laugh. At the rat-tat-tat of the knocker, her heart flew into her mouth. Hey, Dad. Let me in. I am hairy, I am. Straight. Come back home a day too soon. One of the windows upstairs ran up. A grinning, information fellow, said the voice of old Hagbard, up in the darkness. Aunt, you have anything to do with him. It will spoil everything. She heard Harry Hagbard say, Hello, Dad, then a clanging clatter. The window rumbled down, and he stood before her again. It's just like old times. Nearly walloped the life out of me to stop me going away, and now I come back he throws a confounded shovel at my head to keep me out. It grazed my shoulder. She shuddered. I wouldn't care, he began, only I spent my last shillings on the railway fare, and my last 2 pence on a shave out of respect for the old man. Are you really Harry Hagbard? She asked. Can you prove it? Can I prove it? Can anyone else prove it? He said jovially. Prove with what? What do I want to prove? There isn't a single corner in the world, barring England, perhaps, where you could not find some man, or more likely woman, that would remember me for Harry Hagbard. I am more like Harry Hagbard than any man alive, and I can prove it to you in a minute, if you will let me step inside your gate. Come in, she said. He entered then the front garden of the Carvels. His tall shadow strode with a swagger. She turned her back on the window and waited, watching the shape, of which the footfall seemed the most material part. The light fell on a tilted hat, a powerful shoulder, that seemed to cleave the darkness, on a leg stepping out. He swung about and stood still, facing the illuminated parlor window at her back, turning his head from side to side, laughing softly to himself. Just fancy, for a minute, the old man's beard stuck onto my chin. Hey? Now say. I was the very spit of him from a boy. It's true, she murmured to herself. And that's about as far as it goes. He was always one of your domestic characters. Why, I remember how he used to go about looking very sick for 3 days, before he had to leave home on one of his trips to South Shields for coal. He had a standing charter from the gasworks. You would think he was off on a whaling cruise 3 years and a tail. Ha, ha. Not a bit of it. 10 days on the outside. The Skimmer of the Seas was a smart craft. Fine name, wasn't it? Mother's uncle owned her. ... he interrupted himself, and in a lowered voice, did he ever tell you what mother died of? He asked. Yes, said Miss Bessie, bitterly. From impotence. He made no sound for a while, then brusquely. They were so afraid I would turn out badly, that they fairly drove me away. Mother nagged at me for being idle, and the old man said he would cut my soul out of my body, rather than let me go to sea. Well, it looked as if he would do it too, so I went. It looks to me sometimes, as if I had been born to them by a mistake in that other hutch of a house. Where ought you to have been born by rights? Bessie Carville interrupted him, defiantly. In the open, upon a beach, on a windy night, he said, quick as lightning. Then he mused slowly. They were characters, both of them, by George, and the old man keeps it up well, don't he? A damn shovel on the hark. Who's that macking that row? Bessie, Bessie. ... it's in your house. It's for me, she said, with indifference. He stepped aside, out of the streak of light. Your husband? He inquired, with the tone of a man accustomed to unlawful trysts. Ein voice for a ship's deck in a thundering squall. No, my father. I am not married. You seem a fine girl, Miss Bessie, dear, he said at once. She turned her face away. Oh, I say, what's up? Who's murdering him? He wants his tea. She faced him, still and tall, with averted head, with her hands hanging clasped before her. Hadn't you better go in, he suggested, after watching for a while the nape of her neck, a patch of dazzling white skin, and soft shadow above the somber line of her shoulders. Her wrap had slipped down to her elbows. We'll have all the town coming out presently. I'll wait here a bit. Her wrap fell to the ground, and he stooped to pick it up, as he had vanished. He threw it over his arm, and approaching the window squarely he saw a monstrous form of a fat man in an armchair, an unshaded lamp, the yawning of an inner mouse mouth in a big flat face encircled by a ragged halo of hair Miss Bessie's head and bust. The shouting stopped. The blind ran down. He lost himself in thinking how awkward it was. Father mad. No getting into the house. No money to get back. A hungry chum in London who would begin to think he had been given the go-by. Am, he muttered. He could break the door in, certainly, but they would perhaps bundle him in too choky for that without asking questions, no great matter, only he was confoundedly afraid of being locked up, even in mistake. He turned cold at the thought. He stamped his feet on the sod and grass. What are you? A sailor? Said an agitated voice. As he had flitted out, a shadow herself, attracted by the reckless shadow waiting under the wall of her home. Anything. Enough of a sailor, to be worth my salt before the mast. Came home that way this time. Where do you come from, she asked. Right away from a jolly good spree, he said, by the London train, see? Oh. I hate being shut up in a train. I don't mind a house so much. Ah, she said. That's lucky. Because in a house you can at any time open the blame door, and walk away straight before you. And never come back? Not for 16 years at least, he laughed. To a rabbit hutch, and get a confounded old shovel. Dot, a ship is not so very big, she taunted. No, but the sea is great. She dropped her head, and as if her ears had been opened to the voices of the world, she heard, beyond the rampart of sea wall, the swell of yesterday's gale breaking on the beach with monotonous and solemn vibrations, as if all the earth had been a tolling bell. And then, why, a ship's a ship. You love her and leave her, and a voyage isn't a marriage. He quoted the sailor saying lightly. It is not a marriage, she whispered. I never took a false name, and I've never yet told a lie to a woman. What lie? Why, the lie. Take me or leave me, I say. And if you take me, then it is. Dottie hummed a snatch very low, leaning against the wall. Oh, ho, ho, Rio. And fare thee well, my bonny young girl. We're bound to Rio Grande, Capstan Song, he explained. Her teeth chattered. You are cold, he said. Here's that affair of yours I picked up. She felt his hands about her, wrapping her closely. Hold the ends to Jeter in front, he commanded. What did you come here for, she asked, repressing a shudder. £5, he answered, promptly. He let our spree go on a little too long, and got hard up. You've been drinking? She said. Blind 3 days, on purpose. I am not given that way, don't you think? There's nothing and nobody that can get over me unless I like. I can be as steady as a rock. My chum sees the paper this morning, and says he to me. Go on, Harry. Loving parent. That's £5 sure. Apostrophe so we scraped all our pockets for the fare. Devil of a lark. You have a hard heart, I am afraid, she sighed. What for? For running away? Why? He wanted to make a lawyer's clerk of me just to please himself. Master in his own house, and my poor mother egged him on for my good, I suppose. Well, then so long, and I went. No, I tell you. The day I cleared out, I was all black and blue from his great fondness for me. Ah, he was always a bit of a character. Look at that shovel now. Off his chump? Not much. That's just exactly like my dad. He wants me here, just to have somebody to order about. However, we two were hard up, And what's 5 quid to him once in 16 hard years? Oh, but I am sorry for you. Did you never want to come back home? Be a lawyer's clerk and rot here in some such place as this? He cried in contempt. Hat! If the old man set me up in a home today, I would kick it down about my ears, or else die there before the third day was out. And where else is it that you hope to die? In the bush somewhere, in the sea, on a blamed mountaintop for choice. At home? Yes. The world's my home, but I expect I'll die in a hospital someday. What of that? Any place is good enough, as long as I've lived. And I've been everything you can think of almost, but a tailor or a soldier. I've been a boundary rider, I've sheared sheep, and humped my swag, and harpooned a whale. I've rigged ships, and prospected for gold, and skinned dead bullocks, and turned my back on more money than the old man would have scraped in his whole life. Ha, ha! He overwhelmed her. She pulled herself to jitter, and managed to utter, "Time to rest now." He straightened himself up, away from the wall, and in a severe voice said, "Time to go." But he did not move. He leaned back again, and hummed thoughtfully a bar or two of an outlandish tune. She felt as if she were about to cry. "That's another of your cruel songs," she said. "Learned it in Mexico in Sonora," he talked. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.